How many of you are excited to be in the house of God this morning? Amen, 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 amen. God is good and His presence is in our midst. Wherever God's children come together, He is there. If that is the promise, without a question, the Lord is in our midst. Can we praise Him again? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Lucy and I are very back to be with you in your midst after probably more than 3 months. We are so happy to be with you, our home church, to meet with all of you, our children, and to experience your fellowship and your love. And looking at all of you, seem like you are doing good, right? You're doing good? Amen. Praise God. God has been good. Amen. We have been praying for you every day and as much as we can diligently that God will continue to grow you, strengthen you, and keep you from the devices of the enemy. You know that the devil is not sleeping. He is always active. And while he is active, God's children need to be in connection, communion with the Lord. So it is our communion with the Lord and the intercession of those who care about the church that will strengthen and keep the church going. And I thank God the Lord has appointed a good man of God as your pastor and fellow servants of God, such as Pastor Maurice, Pastor Sean, and the great deacons. And I thank God for all of you. And I know that you have been praying for us as well. And you missed us just as much as we have missed you. And when I met Sister Maria this morning, oh, it was so exciting. So that much we missed all of you. Deacon Pedro was so kind enough to give us a surprise visit a few weeks ago in our Pottstown church, and he represented your love and your care with us in that visit. And I thank all of you, Deacon Pedro, and all of you. Praise God. We are also happy to be with you with the backbone of our Pottstown church, Sister Darlene. A couple of others were also supposed to come, so I'm hoping they will get here before the service is over. And I am so glad to see my good friend Steve after a long time. Amen. I tell you, we had a nice conversation. I think it was Friday. It was very exciting to see how God is working in his life. And he's going to keep coming to the church again. Right, Steve? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we are doing wonderful in Pottstown. God has a powerful ministry there, but not all the people are there yet. We are just simply waiting for God's time. And every week I go to Pottstown besides Sunday. Two times I go to Pottstown and God sends someone to me. I spend the time with them and talk to them, share the gospel, and the seeds are being sown. And we will see the result very soon. One thing that we are missing is the worship there. See, when we started the church, this church, at that time we had the benefit, advantage of already a worship team that grew out of our IPC church where we were part of. And so we had a worship team with us. And regardless of how many people were in the church, the worship team was there, and that was a big difference. So now in Pottstown, our worship team is Sister Lucy and her whole music department in a CD box. And we still worship. Praise God, we still worship. Thank God. And we are praying, and I want you to pray also for God to send us a good worship leader. We need a good worship leader. I like to steal one of them from here, but I am not going to do that. I know how to persuade them too, but I am not going to do that. So you need all of them. So pray that God will send someone to us in Pottstown. But in time, I might steal someone from here to lead the church in Pottstown. There, you cannot oppose me. That in God's time. Amen? Because once we plant the church and the church grow, and someone from here, if God willing, will go there and lead the church. So keep that in prayer. Amen? Amen. Praise God. See, from the very beginning of my call for ministry and ministry, one principle that God has given me is this. Christianity, true Christianity, is not another religion. It is a relationship. It is a relationship with God and relationship with one another. This has been the fundamental principle of our ministry. And I am so glad that the next leadership, Pastor Billy and the others with him, really uphold that principle, and you all understand that. If you do not have the relationship with God, personally, each of us, if you do not have the relationship with God, then our family will not be in order. It is in your personal relationship with God that your family comes under God's control, structure. If you do not have a relationship with God, then you will find it very hard to relate to one another who are totally different from your behavior, your attitude, your culture, and everything different from you. If you do not have a relationship with God, you will find it often challenging to have a harmonious family relationship. If you do not have a relationship with God, then you will find it difficult to be patient and deal with people as a leader in the church. It is the relationship with God that allows us to have relationship with one another. In Matthew chapter 22, there is a teacher of the law came to Jesus to test him. He asked him a question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? He asked him a question. When I read that, before the answer, looking at the answer Jesus gave them, my answer, I thought, well, it's a simple answer. The answer is the first commandment out of the great 10 commandments, right? There is 10 commandments given, and the first of that commandment, definitely, first of all, it is the first commandment. Secondly, it sounds like very encompassing. All the other commandments are in it. So it says, you shall have no other gods before me. I thought that would be the perfect answer. But Jesus did not give that answer. Instead of giving one of the 10 commandments, he has given them two instructions, which is also called commandments, but not as 10 commandments, two instructions which are given to the people of Israel as they are about to get into their promised land as a living standard. The first one was this. That is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It says, so Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Love your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and the greatest commandment. But that is not part of the 10 commandments. And then he said, equally important, but the second one is this. Love your neighbor as yourself.
And that is from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. He gave these two. And then, even more amazing is, he has given a concluding remark in verse 40. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Then he says, all the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the Mosaic law, and all the prophets, all of them, from Isaiah to Malachi, or all those prophets and the history books, all those hang on these two principles, which is love God and love one another. Remember, Jesus said that too, right? Later on, love God and love one another. This is the principle, the law or commandment on which all the other laws are hanging. Now, what is Jesus saying here? I want you to pay attention. I know that the children are here, so you can all, if you listen, I will make it as simple as possible that you can understand. See, most of the time when I was preaching here, when I see Lucas back at home, and I don't even have to ask him questions. He will tell me what I was preaching on Sunday. If Lucas can understand, and I say, all the children, all of you can understand. If Christian didn't understand, I understand that. And the rest of you should be able to understand, right, Kimani? Amen. Kimani didn't get a good rest last night, did he? Mm-mm. All right, praise God. So, what we are saying is, Jesus is saying is this, the sum total of the Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament, we call it, the sum total of the Hebrew Bible is, what is that? That is the prophets and the law. That means the Hebrew Bible. So Jesus is telling them is the Hebrew Bible which you are holding, that is your dogma and that is your foundation. And if that is your foundation, it should be, you should understand that it is the relationship that God wants out of you. And everything in this book is given in order to encourage and strengthen your relationship with God and one another. That is the sum total that Jesus said. So, what is the basis of this relationship with God and with one another? What is the basis? Love. Love is the base of this relationship. Now, unfortunately, Jews did not understand or they did not accept this principle. So Jesus was not imposing or bringing into a revolutionary idea that relationship is very important to God. It was already there. From the very beginning, relationship was the key. Look at the creation. In creation, God created everything by his simple word, let there be. But when it comes to creating you and I, or creating man, humankind, he created man and woman, he created them. When he created them, what did he do? He stooped down. He didn't just stand there and say, let there be man, and let there be woman. No. He stooped down to the ground. He took the dirt in his hand and he molded and shaped a human being. And with his loving, affectionate touch, he created us. His touch is all over you. His touch, his hand is all over you. So he is so emotionally and spiritually connected to you. He created us. And then what did he do on top of it? He breathed his life into us. He could have said, let there be. No, he breathed his life, his Holy Spirit into us that we became living beings. And he looked at us, created it. Holy, wonderful, merciful, almighty God created man and woman. He created them. And in my imagination, what I think is God did not just create that man and let him walk like a coming out of a lab, created it and let it walk. No, God created the man, and what might have he done? I believe he, just like a mother, when the child is born, looking at the child and embraced that child to her bosom, God took the man in his hand and he embraced him. He loved him. He loved him before he could walk. And that is the kind of relationship that God had with us when he created us. And then, you know what happened, the rest of the story. When sin entered the scene, that relationship was broken. Sin means rebellion against God. When we disobeyed God, it is always, even then and now, it is the same God. He who wants to have this intimate, passionate, loving relationship with us. The only thing that hinders, create the obstacle with this relationship is the sin. When sin enters the scene, God, the holy God, cannot reach us. While all other religions, whether it is Islam, Judaism, and Christianity as a religion, Jainism, Buddhism, Taoism, all religions across the world have been trying to reach out to this God. Is everybody okay there on the row from the first, the last row to the second one? Okay. So I am a visiting pastor today, but I am your bishop. Don't forget that either. So I have the authority to question you when you don't behave. So here, God, when he created all that, I lost my thought for a moment. So all of them are trying to, all this religion, what they are trying to do is reach out to God. Right? Reach out to God. But unfortunately, man, human being, who are sinful, covered with sin, cannot reach a holy God. Regardless of how many sacrifices and how many kind of rituals and practices, all this good religion with all its good intention, they cannot reach God. So the Bible says even the best of human work is like a filthy rag before God. But on the other hand, God has been trying to reach man. That is not out of religion. Man's effort to reach God is called religion. But God's attempt to reach us is called relationship. You got that? God's attempt to reach us is relationship. Because we lost the relationship at the garden. He wants to reinstate this relationship, restore this relationship. And he has been trying. And how hard, the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, if I sum up one word, that God's attempt to restore, that is what it is. God has been attempting to restore this relationship through the law, through the prophets, and through the kings, and all those things God has been trying to restore. So it is the relationship that God wants it. And Jesus made this very symbol in one statement. He summed up God's effort in Matthew 23:37. This is what he said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. God has been trying to reach out and gather the scattered children back to him. But people were not willing. But on the other hand, Israel, the chosen people, were unwilling to gather toward God. But the religious people across the world have been trying to reach out to God, but they were unable to reach God or incapable to God. So what was God's solution? God's solution was one: send his sinless beloved son Jesus Christ and enable him to mediate with this lost humanity and restore this relationship, for which needed to have a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. That sacrifice was done on the cross. And through the blood of Jesus, our sins were forgiven. Our sins were cleansed. Now we are able to reach out to God. And that relationship was restored. Can we thank God and praise him that the relationship with God was restored? So our personal life, our family life, our life in the society, and our ministry must be the foundation of all this, must be this principle, fundamental principle of relationship with God and relationship with one another. If we have that done, then we are good. You may not have the greatest doctrine. There may be some errors in your doctrinal understanding. You may not be a greatest preacher. You may not be a greatest counselor. And your worship may not be the fiery worship. Doesn't matter if you, as long as you have this concept, the relationship with God, everything that you do must be motivated by your love toward God and love toward others. That should be the motivating principle. The passage we read this morning is about Peter, the great disciple of Jesus Christ, Peter, and his greatest failure, denying Jesus not once, not twice, not how many times? Three times he denied Jesus. And Matthew, we read that he began to call on himself, he began to curse himself. He was that angry because the pressure. He was at the wrong place, wrong time. And there was pressure. At that time, he didn't want to be identified as a follower of Christ. How many of you have felt that in your life? Sometimes you are in the wrong place. And you are not comfortable to identify yourself as a Christian. So sometimes when people pressure you, hey, I have seen you in that church, some people will say, why, you must be mistaken. And that happens to some people, not all. I agree, some people. So here, Peter's denial did not happen by his own weakness, or it is because he is any worse than us. It happened because God allowed that to happen. You know why God allowed that? It started in verse 31. God told him, Jesus told him, you're going to have some trials. The devil is trying to knock you down, but I am praying for you. His reply was that, no, Lord, don't worry about me. I am good. I am never going to deny you. I am never going to forsake you. If I need to come to the prison with you, I am ready. So there was that spiritual pride in him that he felt like he got it made. He is better than others. Jesus wanted to prove to him, it is not like that. What you have, it was, I would consider that passage that we read is the greatest shift in Peter's life from religion to relationship. See, in religion, people depend on their knowledge of the law and their understanding of the law and their own strength that I can make it. I got it. But in relationship, hey, you have to depend on Christ daily. Every day, none of us are immune. So that was a shift from religion to relationship. Amen. Praise God. So sometimes people feel like they are not doing the right. Because especially when some of us act like we got it all made, we are perfect Christians, and the others will feel like, hey, I am not that great. I often fail. I don't know how to live right. I fail. So what do? Some of them will stay away. And especially if there is some drastic things happened in your spiritual life. You failed. You fell short. And then you realize that I am not good enough. I cannot be with other Christians who are so perfect. Or you say, God has an expectation for me. And I didn't make it. I failed him. So the best thing to do is just walk away from the church. Walk away from God. You know, that is what Judas did. When he had some religious expectation in Jesus. When the religious expectation did not meet. And he failed. When he failed, what did he do? He just walked away from God. Walked away from Christ. But Peter, on the other hand, he failed, but he still came to the church. He used to sit in the front row. Now he is sitting all the way in the back, but still he is there at a distance that Jesus can look upon him. At a distance, and he can hear the voice of Christ. As long as, even though you fail, if you walk in a distance, follow him as long as he can see you, or you can see him, let his eye catch your eye. Just like Peter, what he did. Then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. When he denied, Lord turned and looked straight at him. He was at a distance where Jesus could look at him. And that gave him the opportunity to cry bitterly and repent and come back. So my message to you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, do not be unrealistic. You are never going to be perfect. There is going to be mistakes and failures and shortfalls. When that happens, don't walk farther away from God, walk closer to him. Amen. If you are away from him, there is no opportunity for you to be restored. And you will do what Judas did. Kill yourself. So walk closely to him. And so because of that, what happened is, Peter, who denied Jesus, shifted from religion to relationship. What happened? A few days later, he stood up there and preached, and 3,000 religious people, religious Jews, were turned into a relationship with Christ. Praise God. It is a relationship, my brothers and sisters. It is a daily depending relationship. I like that song that I don't know how to sing. I like the song that says, Lord, I cannot breathe, I cannot talk, I cannot walk, I cannot do anything without you. Amen. I need you every day. Praise God. So some people, I'm being practical, some people, it doesn't take much time for them to be discouraged in their Christian faith. I know that there are some people who have had some bad experiences in their spiritual life, probably from another believer, from another church and all that. And they sometimes hold that anger in them against church and Christians, and they decide not to go to any church. Totally, they walk away from God. I remember
In the early part of our ministry, when we were not Pilgrim's Vision International Church, we were part of IPC, and I was pastoring both churches. At that time, there used to be a man. That was first of my early converts. There was a man named Stanley, and he came to Christ. And his story is huge. It was very difficult for him to turn his life to Christ because he had murdered someone in the past. And the court system let him go because there were no proof. But in his heart, he knows that he did that. So he could not forgive himself. And when I met him, he shared this story with me. And I told him, Jesus can forgive. But he could not accept it. It took several days of counseling, sitting down and praying with him and taking scripture after scripture to show him that there is no sin in the world that is unforgivable. Jesus can forgive all sins. That's why he came to the world. Finally, he accepted Christ and he became a very committed believer in Christ. He came to the church. There was most of the service only when I preached that was in English. All the other, and even that was translated. But all the other time, the songs are in Malayalam and all the things are in Malayalam. But he didn't mind. He sat. He came. He's the first person in the church. He came. He sat at the back of the church every single day, every single Sunday. And he started working for me. And few months later, he did something really bad at work, and I had to fire him. And that was a Friday. And when we were coming to church on Sunday morning, Lucy and I were saying, we lost Stanley. What can we do? I had to do that, but we lost Stanley. As soon as I opened the church, Stanley is sitting right there where he was always he has been. I went straight to him, gave him a hug, and I asked him, Stanley, I didn't think you would be coming. He said, Pastor, you fired me from the work. You didn't fire me from the church, and God didn't fire me, and you didn't do anything wrong, and God didn't do anything wrong. It was my mistake. So I have nothing against God, and I am here. This is my church. So, see, Friday when I questioned him, he was speechless. But Sunday, when he replied that to me, I was speechless. I could not say a word to him. He was absolutely on the right. There should be absolutely nothing, whether it is a pastor, whether it is another believer, whether it is a church, that should affect your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is God, the pastor, and the other believers are only instruments. And it is God who called you. Your relationship is with God. If your relationship with people, amen, amen. If your relationship with people, when people fall, people fail, and you will fall. Make sure your relationship is with God. Praise God. I'm going to close here. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or is it a religion for you? Is it a religion because you are coming to the church and you're going through some stuff, but nobody knows? But you go to church as a religious person. You never fail. You do all the things. You give the tithe and you worship and all that. But in your heart, the relationship is broken. I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, whatever that particular incident and whatever is going on, one look from Jesus will change everything around in your life. Come closer to him. Let him take a look at you. And come closer to him and hear the magnificent, the powerful, creating word from him.
The one who created the universe with his word. One who made the creation out of chaos. Whatever chaos in your life, let him speak and hear his word. And let that word create, make a creation in you. Make a restoration, a change in you. Transform you. Come closer to him. If your relationship with the Lord is broken, regardless of what you do, regardless of how much sacrifices you do, if the relationship is broken, you will have no joy in your life. Praise God. And sometimes, people, you know, how do you know it is a relationship or religion? There are so many testing points. I'm going to say a couple of things. Is it a relationship or a religion? You have been on vacation for the last 2 weeks. And you came back Friday. And Sunday you feel like you needed to rest a little more. And you didn't want to go to church. It is a religion. It is not a relationship. If it is a relationship that you have, then you were out of the church because you had no other choice. But now you're back. You are so zealous to get back in the church and worship him along with the rest of the children of God. And some people, they're almost like looking for a reason. The kids say that, hey, my friend's birthday is this Sunday. I have to go. So you take the whole family on Sunday morning and go to a birthday party on Sunday morning. What you have is not a relationship with the Lord. What you have is a religion. If you have a relationship, no birthday party, no other priorities, whether your children's or yours or your family's or your friends, nothing will stop you from coming to church and worshiping God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. What is the most important thing in your life? Every day, God has been blessing you. He has been protecting you. And only one thing that you can do is, one, praise him and thank him. Two, come along with the other children of God and worship him and praise him.
Amen.
And then you ask the question, what else can I do, Lord? That will be your question. If you have your priority wrong, everything else, and when you feel 100%, then you go to church. I guarantee you, your children are not going to be in the church. None of your children are going to be in the church if that is your priority. Your children have to see a relationship that you have with God, not a religion. Amen?
Amen.
You have seen many young people who are tired of religion and they don't go to church. But here I encourage you, quit the religion and start a relationship with the Lord. I know that sometimes people, when a pastor, Billy, if you were preaching, you wouldn't be so hard, right? Yeah, once in a while, you may hear this. Praise God. We have to have a relationship with the Lord. And finally, I'm going to say this to the ministers, to the leaders of the church. What is the motivation for your ministry? Is the motivation for your ministry obligation? Or is it a system that you have been so practiced from your childhood that you get up in the morning? I know, especially our children, that is a practice. And they have been doing. But I believe they have turned from practice to personal relationship in their life. So my question is it a practice, or is it out of obligation, or is it because that you have this responsibility, you have to do it. Whether you feel like it or not, you have to come on Sunday morning and stand there and worship. Is it an obligation, or is it out of a relationship with the Lord that you cannot contain it? The Lord has been so gracious. He has been so loving. He has been so compassionate. You have to pour out your heart and worship him. It is out of a motivation of relationship, not out of obligation. Praise God. When you counsel people, when you preach the word to people, when you teach the Bible, all this, when you share the gospel with somebody, It should not be out of obligation. It should not be out of obligation. It should be out of your relationship with the Lord, that you want to build a relationship with them through Christ. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our motivation for everything we do. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and continue to prosper.